And today on our podcast, I have an amazing guy, Tom Fortune. You know, I happen to love people that have challenges and that set themselves out to do something against the odds. So, Tom, you know, could you give us a bit of your story, because it's amazing?
Yeah, absolutely, Patrick. I suppose my story was like anybody, I suppose, in any young person. I was a fit and active person, captain of the football team, captain soccer team, all the rest. And I suppose after I left school and went into college and became kind of just, I suppose in my 20s, I just developed a bit of weight, and I suppose the weight crept up over time. And I got to the stage where I wasn't doing anything about it, wasn't really active, and just poor food choices. And over my 20s and 30s, unfortunately, the weight crept up and up, and after I got, you know, to a certain stage, I was nearly at 25 stone without even realizing. And it's very, very quick to creep up. And as I said, it's I think you get into a stage of acceptance. Once you get to a certain weight, you're kind of going, ah, sure, I'll never shift it off me now. So you're kind of, you got to me heaviest, I suppose, is 24 stone 12. So.
And how did it feel at 24 stone 12? Because I know a lot of people,
yeah,
they're battling with putting on weight,
yeah,
as they get older,
yeah,
and then they're feeling they can't do anything, yeah, about it. So how did it feel at 25 stone from being, you know, a footballer in those early years?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's no, and I wouldn't be an anxious person, but when you're carrying that weight, you're not realising how excluded from society you actually are. I remember having a meltdown in Eddie Rockets because I couldn't fit into the boot. My partner and myself went in, and it was, the boot wasn't designed for somebody carrying that weight, even though it's a fast food restaurant. The irony of it, like, you know. So I remember being in a trying to fit in a roller coaster in Thor Park in the UK and not being able to get on it. Couldn't shop, couldn't go into any clothes shops, just didn't fit 4 or 5 XL. So it's only when you kind of think back on it now how kind of excluded you are, and thinking back on the little things that you couldn't do, or, you know, activities like, you know, set myself the challenges I'm setting myself now. You know, you couldn't do any of those. Do a parachute jump, you're over the weight for certain things as well. You know, all these things, like, are, you're completely excluded. So
I suppose including travel, like, you know, how did it feel like getting into buses and
planes, like, you know yourself, probably been on Ryanair as much as I have anyway. So Ryanair are my number one, and I always promote Ryanair. I think they've got me around Europe a lot of times, and I can't say anything, but unfortunately when you're that size as well, and you're trying to fit in, you're asking for the belt extensions, do you know, it's a horrible horrible experience is not a horrible, might be the wrong word, but definitely a moment of anxiety when you're, you know, flying for people is anxious enough, never mind having that added extra pressure of people looking at you, and then you're putting up your hand asking for this belt extension because you don't fit into the normal, the space that you're occupied or allocated, so to speak. So no, that might be difficult for a lot of people right now, but, you know,
did that affect you, like, you know, mentally, or like how did you actually cope at that stage? Because I'm just trying to get to the stage, like, how did you come to change, like, you know? And I was up on Cairn Tool, which yesterday,
yes,
and like, you're flying, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But like, how did it psychologically affect you? And I know,
yeah, I suppose, as I said probably earlier, when you get to a certain weight, there's like this thing of acceptance. Oh, sure, I'll never, and you're nearly happy to plod along, and it's only I think there's, you know, certain things kind of give you a kind of a tipping point, going, Jesus, actually, I need to make a change. And it was only in my late 30s that I seen kind of family health and stuff like that, and you're looking at both sides of your family, and you're kind of studying a bit more, and kind of going, Jesus, you know, I have to get my act together. But I suppose leading up to that, you're just in a moment of acceptance, and you're accepting that you're 25 or 26 stone, or, you know, 25 stone, and it's a case where, you know, unless you really, the penny drops for you, you're happy to kind of go along with it, you know. So
when did the penny drop?
Oh God! I suppose when it had been a strange, I suppose to give you the context, it's been a strange 3 years. I've lost both parents in the last 3 years, like, so it's been crazy 3 years, and my uncle and a few other people through bereavement. So I've had a crap three years, so to speak. But when Mam got sick, and this is the tipping point, I suppose. She had an operation to remove a tumour, and then she was going on chemotherapy, and in July of 2019, and I suppose she never even whinged once, or, you know, and she was smiling and laughing through all of it. And I kind of said to myself, right, and I kind of sat myself down and I said, look, we've health issues on both sides of the family, like every family, I presume, did they come with their health issues and conditions and all the rest. I don't think any of us are free from complete good health or whatever. So I looked at both sides of the family, and Mam was starting treatment on the 3rd of July, I think, and I decided to myself, I said, look, if this woman is not even complaining about facing what she's facing, I said, I have absolutely no excuses. So I kind of sat down, had to get into my own, and I think getting into your own head is the hardest job. That's the real summer, sort of the real challenge. And I said, once you can get in there and kind of, you know, get yourself sorted, I said, I used Mam as my inspiration, I suppose, to kind of go, right, I'm going to drive on and you know, kind of push on and see. And I gave myself a year with Slimming World. So I went back to Slimming World, I suppose, to try and overhaul my diet, because I just had an absolutely, you know, a very poor diet. And there's no point in saying otherwise, you know, I'll be the first to admit it. You know, you're eating thousands of calories a day without even thinking. So I suppose I sat down in July and I said, right, I said, I'll work on alongside Mam, and she'll do this, her treatment, and I'll do my treatment, whether it be mental or physical or whatever, and we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, I think that the interesting thing here is because, like, some people, like even myself, you know, like I battle, like, you know, trying to get down 5 or 10 kilos, which is most people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that fear, like, you know, that I keep going up and up
and
up.
Yes, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
And I suppose for me, the admiration is, you know, how the bloody hell do you do this, or how do you actually, you know, get things under control? Because, you know, a lot of people that I speak to, especially in our Forever Young Club, you know, they progress and then it starts putting on the weight and more weight and then they feel that they can't do stuff.
Yeah.
So in your case, like, you went from 25 stone, practically, 2 pound off, down to what now?
I suppose my target weight was 13 stone, and that's where I'm sitting comfortably now. It's I'm happy with that weight. I'm kind of fully active and all the rest, and I'm keeping it, thankfully keeping it off for the moment. So yeah, it is, and that's the new challenge, to kind of maintain it. So
I was just amazed yesterday, because when you rang me up and we were talking, and you said I was 25 stone and then went down to 13 stone, which is half your body weight. I was half afraid, like, you get a heart attack.
I was wondering
what am I going to deal with. But I think people are fascinated, like, you know, and I suppose one of the greatest queries we get in the Forever Young Club, like, is about, because our whole thing is about staying healthy and living a healthy, sustainable lifestyle that will allow you go into your 80s or 90s.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, okay, I suppose I'll talk then about the way, because I'm always fascinated about how people feel.
Yeah. Yeah,
when they feel like that, like you said, like, okay, I felt happy and contented in a way, like fooling yourself.
Yeah,
to the fact of now you made the decision. So could you take me on that journey?
Yeah,
you know, from where you were, this 25 stone person that needed extensions on planes, couldn't fit into boots in any rockets.
To
the frustration of getting extra clothes. Mm-hmm. What was it like, you know, like in your state of mind as this kept on creeping up and creeping up and creeping up?
Yeah, it's just, I suppose, like I said, it's going on those little trips to holidays or whatever. Like every year you'd go up to the big pennies, as we call it. You know, we've the small pennies in Kilkenny, so you have to go to the big pennies in Dublin or Newbridge or wherever, and you have to look for the summer clothes or the, you know, the t-shirts. And even when you're in pennies, and nothing can fit you, because you're not at that size. So I mean, to have somebody now that's 13 stone and be able to shop in any store and wear something comfortably, like I'm a medium at the moment, you know, but I could get away with a large as well, but I'm at a medium size, so I'm gone from 4 or 5 XL down to medium, which is clothes wise is absolutely, I was a 44 inch waist and I'm now a 32 inch with room. You know, so it's and I suppose my biggest thing, and you've mentioned yourself, Pat, is this, it's the sustainability of keeping that healthy lifestyle going. As I said to you, I went back with Slimming World, but I'm 100%, 200% confident that it's sustainable, and that's the key thing, is that I'm comfortable that I can maintain that 13 stone without going back up, and I've integrated those little habits to make sure that for the long term I have those habits built in my psyche or whatever, not to let the weight creep in again. Because, and the other side of it is, all my nice clothes now, they're unforgiving, a medium top is unforgiving, so if I do put on that extra half a stone or a stone, you know, I might have to get rid of the medium top again. So your clothes kind of keep you kind of in tune with how your shape is as well, so you know.
So, okay, what's fascinating to me, like, you know, is I'm looking at a person here and you look quite normal, like, you know, where did all the skin go? Where did give me the journey of how you got from this, like, and I know some people will be battling a stone or two but basically this is a massive
weight loss.
And then, like, now to maintain is something else.
Because
I'm fascinated on the fact of, I've tried a lot of things myself to keep my weight under control, and as I get older I'm finding it harder. So, like, what did you do, like?
Yeah, I suppose, well, I said, like, what worked for me, and it probably doesn't work for everybody, but Slimming World was my focus, and the reason why Slimming World suited me, because it's not restrictive, and it doesn't tell you what to eat or what not to eat. It re-educates you what calories are in food. They call her calorie sins or whatever, but so, like, I set myself out, when you're 24 stone 12, I would have set myself out, again, with the plan that I was on, you can set yourself interim targets. So I said, you're getting down, my goal was to get back active, like, actively running and all the rest, but I didn't want to start running at 25 stone, because I'd be still picking my giants up off the floor if I did that. So I set a goal. The first interim goal was to get to 20 stone, from 24 stone 12 down to 20. And when I done that, I decided then I was going to do a bit of light activity and maybe a bit of running, and I joined a park run in Kilkenny. And I couldn't believe the atmosphere there, where everybody just brings you along, regardless of your fitness levels, you were walking, running, or whatever. And I kind of caught a buzz for running then, and it's from there, I suppose. I kind of got into your 5Ks and 10Ks, and, you know, you're eventually up to a half marathon. So I said, but to answer your question originally, 90%, 80-90% of it is diet, what you put in your mouth. Like, you can't outrun a bad diet, and I firmly believe that. Like I said, you can train the top athletes in the world, but if they're eating takeaway every night, there's something wrong. So I had to overhaul my diet completely, and watch what I'm eating. But then, in coinciding with that, I was starting to actively do exercise, and not count the steps where I'm going to my car. I don't count that as steps. That's not an activity for me. An activity for me is setting myself out and don't going on a 5K walk. So and making, you know, sweating yourself and saying, okay, that was a workout, and then you can kind of come back and kind of go, right, I've done my workout, or I've had my food kind of under control for the day, and just take day by day, because, like, 12 stone doesn't come off, you know, overnight, like. So it's day by day, and you gradually see it coming down pound by pound. And for anybody struggling, like, it is day by day, like, as I said, like, you know, it is just keep each day, and prepping is a huge thing for me, as I said. So if you're going anywhere, whether it be going out for the day or something like that, maybe to have a bit of lunch with you, whether it be a healthy bit of chicken, bit of fruit packed in the bag. So if you do feel you want a snack, that you have something there rather than turning to the hot food counters, which would have been my downfall.
Give us a typical kind of a 25 stone diet.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I suppose I'm still currently in college at the moment, and I'm going up and down to Carlow IT, so from Kilkenny. So I would start out, and I might stop for my first breakfast maybe in a in a hot food counter in Fresher.
Your first breakfast.
My first breakfast.
What time would that be?
You're leaving on the road, you're leaving about 7:30, so you'd probably be getting something about 7:30, maybe a quick, you know, batter, so I don't know what'd be in the counter, you know, goujons or whatever is quick and handy. As I said, fast food, just that quick hit to get you to you over in the morning. Then you get to the canteen and you mightn't have class till 9 or 10, so you might sit around the canteen, you might get a croissant or you might get something else in the canteen depending on what it is. So you've nearly eaten two breakfasts before you start into your day, like. So you might have a mid-morning, you'd be a break at 11, so you might have a can of Lucozade and a bar to sustain you till lunchtime, and then you'd have lunch with chips or whatever. And then if you're in the library till late, you'd have something at 3 o'clock, something at 6 o'clock, and 9. But like, the thing about it is that I'm eating as much as I did back then, but I'm eating the right foods, if that makes sense. I'm still fueling my body, but I'm eating, you know, I'm substituting all the crap food for fruit and veg and stuff like that, and I'm still not starving myself. But it's you're eating, like, you know, your hot food counters, your bars, your Lucozades. You could have having maybe 3 or 4 Lucozades a day, do you know. So, do you know, calories alone with Lucozade, you could be talking about 1,000 calories just with Lucozade.
And I always thought, like, I remember actually taking Lucozade like as a health drink.
Like
if you were in hospital, like, absolutely, everyone bringing Lucozade to you.
Yeah. And I suppose in moderation, I suppose, you know, it's worse.
Yeah.
No, I didn't do, when you get to 25 stone, nothing diet wise, it's in moderation, I suppose. So,
and can I ask then, outside the fact of Slimming World and your exercise regime, coming from Coach Potato probably to doing 1,000 steps a day to 5,000, we're presently doing, well, we have a 30-day challenge, we have a 100-day challenge, and like what we're doing. And like, we have people like that are progressing over the years.
Yes.
Now, you probably would be, you know, iconic.
Yes.
When you did your progress, because you did it over, you know, 18 months.
Yes. A year and a half, I suppose, to get down to 13 stone. Thereabouts. So yeah, it's and I suppose people say, "Geez, that's an amazing year and a half," but don't get me wrong, there's been downs as well as ups, like, you know, or depending on what we're looking at, weight or whatever. But, you know, you've put on a few pounds, you have weeks where there might be something come up and you say, right, okay, allow myself, you know, just to go on holidays or let loose for a while. And then it's all about pulling yourself back. I said it wasn't completely lost over, you know, there's been days where it's been crap, but generally, as I said, it's 18 months, so...
And mainly, like, did you have an accountability coach, or was it mainly your own mindset? Is it your mindset was so pissed off at yourself that you said, "Fuck
absolutely
this"?
Yeah, no, I didn't. We have a consultant in Slimming World who's very good, and she's very good at motivating people. But it was, I don't give myself, I suppose, enough credit, and I'm starting to kind of look at myself now and kind of go, "Jesus, you know what? You've done this on yourself." And I would have used, as I said, I spoke earlier about, you know, using mom as an inspiration, because when you see people around you kind of going, you know, and the other thing is, my parents would have been perseverance, you know, they're just old school, and they're just built with this resilience and perseverance if I had half it, I'd be doing very, very well.
And you're not doing too bad.
No, I'm not doing well. I suppose that's it. It's challenging their resilience and their perseverance, because if, you know, they would have been very just, you know, there's no ways around it. If you're, you know, there is hard work involved, and it's just gritting the teeth. So you're kind of looking at their, you know, their resilience and trying to channel that, I suppose. So
kind of give me an example, like, you know, because I when I was going to the South Pole, I used to have to eat 9,600 calories
yes,
a day. If I was going to a supermarket and put 9,600 calories, like, for 60 days into a sled, like, it would fill the freaking kitchen and the dining room. So tell us about your shopping basket, because it's, you know, that's always fascinating me, like, because you must have been eating like 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 calories a day.
Well, I suppose at the time I probably wasn't shopping for myself. I would have been mostly going to, you know, the fast food, the restaurants, the takeaways, all of that kind of stuff. And then when you're at home, you know, there's stuff in the press that would be there, snacking on bars, tatoes, crisps probably would be one of my biggest downfalls. And that constant snacking. Whereas when I shop now, I firmly believe, and this is what I stick to, is it starts with your shopping trolley. Whereas if you have a good healthy shopping trolley, I shop in Dunn's in Kilkenny, and when you walk in, the first section you hit is fruit and veg. Do you know, and as I said, my trolley would be nearly half full by the time I leave that section. And it's a case where I'm substituting all the little snacks, and I'm leaving the snacks out of the trolley, because again, if they're in your trolley, it means that they're probably going into your mouth at some stage during the week. There's no point in saying otherwise. Do you know, you're only buying them for one reason. You're not giving them to the dog, or you're not giving them to anyone else. I'm at home alone, so there's only one person going to eat them, and that's me. So I leave them out of the trolley, and once they're not there, if you get hungry, and we all get hungry, you know, whatever time it is, whether it be morning, noon or night, you have your mandarins and your bit of fruit, and you know, you're allowed, you know, I allow myself treats as well. I might have a bar or fibre bars or something like that, so I suppose I want to get the point across that I'm not on this completely restrictive diet as well. There's scope for having a sweet treat now and again, but again, it's in moderation, like, you know. So but I definitely do believe it starts with your trolley, and if you're able to just get that little habit into, and it's a good start. It's a great foundation for kind of leading a healthier lifestyle, so to speak. So
tip number one.
Yeah. Tip number one is, yeah, start with your trolley.
Start with your trolley.
Don't shop on an empty stomach, because when you hit the bakery section, you'll end up having scones and croissants and everything in it by the time you get around the corner. So don't shop on an empty stomach. Go after you've eaten, and you'll shop healthier.
Okay, so let's move. So we have the trolley, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing is, you know, I'm looking at you like shrinking.
Yeah,
like, I know what's that film called? Like, you know, your man actually shrinks.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're shrinking on a monthly basis,
yeah,
with your clothes and things like,
yes,
that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like in the shrinking, tell me how it feels like. You know, like when you look at yourself, stand on the scales.
Yeah. It's funny actually you say when you look at yourself, because when you're 25 stone, I don't know, it's like vampire syndrome. When you see yourself catch a reflection in the mirror, you nearly, or in a window walking by a shop, you nearly turn into, you know, Jesus, you'd run a million miles away. Whereas now, lately, in the last maybe 6 months or a year, I actually bought a full length mirror I've never had a mirror in the house anyway, you know, small mirrors, but we've all had small mirrors, but a big mirror just for clothes wise, because I'd never looked at myself. And now I have a mirror, and you're going back into the mirror again, you're kind of going, Jesus, I like the lad that's looking out at me, you know, and that's a huge thing, you know, it's massive to kind of go back and take a second look, and maybe a third look, and kind of go, Jesus, yeah, he's actually not too bad, like, you know, so I'd take him on a date myself, like, you know.
Have you people taking you on dates now?
I know, well, I have a significant other for a long time, I'm blessed that way with Julie, so I said, but yeah, no, it's just...
So she liked you on both.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, things. She took me with all flaws, so as I said, there was no issue there. So as I said, it's a case where but like, she's, you know, she's Julie would be much happier now that I'm at a healthier weight and a sustainable weight as well, like, you know. Whereas, you know, when you're that weight, as I said, there's no point in saying otherwise. You're leading to health complications down the road, whether it be in the next 6 months or the next 6 years or the next 20 years, you know, it's there's health complications will come, like, you know, that's probably inevitable. So she's definitely happier now that, you know, as I said, you're leading a healthier life and kind of more active life.
I was going to say, does that mean tip number two is to buy a mirror?
I'm telling you, there,
buy a mirror.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's that newfound confidence, that I would be a person. I suppose I'd be very... I never give myself credit for anything, and I would have a low kind of a self esteem in general. And it's kind of, you know, it's only when people kind of give you a pat on the back and say, Jesus, well done, like, you know. And you've, even at home, people have seen me shrinking. When I've ran the roads and up the hills, they've seen me every day going from 25 stone down to down to 13 stone literally every day. So they've seen this man kind of, you know, disappearing in front of them every day. Like, and there's one neighbour in particular who cheers me on when he sees me running now, and he asks me what weight I am, and it's like winning a gold medal in the Olympics, because him cheering me on every time I ran by his house, he was saying, "Jesus, fair fix to you, Tom," like, you know. And it's a great, you don't realise how much people are rooting for you. So it's you know, it's brilliant, like, you know.
So for people out there, like, is to find the people that will encourage you,
yeah,
and actually give you the credit.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'd, I suppose for me, I always thought that everybody was judging you and looking, and it, where in fact they're probably doing their own daily routine and they're looking at you going, "Jesus, fair play." And I didn't think, you know, that's what they were thinking, but they were. And I'll give you a good example. This week I've got I've got two cards in the post from random neighbours. These are not people that are even I would be close to or would talk to in 6 months or a year, but two cards have come in, one maybe about 4 or 5 months ago, and one, oh jeez, when was it, Tuesday or Wednesday, in the post. And it was a congratulations card with a lovely lovely message going, "Fair play to you, an inspiration to everybody, brilliant, well done." And she's just a local woman at home, and with 20 quid in it, saying, "Get yourself a treat." Like, now maybe she thinks I need it at this stage, but it was you know, again, it really knocked me back for six, because you're kind of going, you know, you don't think you have an impact on people, and you do. Like, you know, it's amazing. Like, and it's just them little cards and people acknowledging that sense of achievement that I suppose I'm slowly to give myself credit for, because you're kind of going, "Ah, yeah, I've lost a few pounds," and people are going, "It's not, you know, it's not a few pounds." Like, you know,
no, it's not a few pounds. Yeah, like, you know, to me, like, when I was speaking to you and then seeing you coming in the door and then seeing you climb Cairn too, you are an inspiration, and it's probably one of the reasons, because I know thousands of people, you know, would love to hear that journey, because for me, that's an Everest in itself.
Absolutely,
Of where you came from. So the thing is, you know, so, like, see, I love the mindset side of it.
Yeah.
Like, your mindset to do something like this was for you.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah, and absolutely, 100% for me. No one else. I put on the blinkers, and as I said, on the 3rd of, whatever, the 3rd of July 2019, I put on the blinkers, and we were running the 8 furlong straight or whatever it may be, and I give myself a year to stick with Slimming World and do it to see how far I get and how far I can push myself.
And with the weight dropping, can you tell us, like, where the transition came? Because I know, like, weight, food, and then exercise, because the exercise, I think, is the sustainable one with the food.
Absolutely, right? yeah.
So where did, like, at what weight did the exercise start clocking in for you?
I suppose I always would have been, I would have been active-ish when I was even 24 stone 12, I would have swam a good bit, like, and I always liked swimming, but When I got under the 20 stone, I joined the park runs in Kilkenny, and they were every Saturday morning, and I started walking around the 5K, and then maybe jogging from one tree to the next tree, and then the next Saturday I'd run from that tree to the two trees away, and the next Saturday, and before you know it, you've nearly built up your stamina for doing a 5K, and then you're kind of saying to yourself, right, what's the next challenge? And I've set myself, I wanted to get back running and kind of regular exercise. And I got from 5K, then I kind of pushed myself to say, okay, just 10K is, you know, not far beyond it. And I pushed myself to that when I was maybe down about maybe 17 stone. I kind of said, we'll go to maybe 10K. And then I said, well, maybe 15. And I set myself little interim targets, gradual targets. This is not something that I said, I'm going to run a half marathon tomorrow. Because, again, you need to give yourself realistic targets at the same time. As, you know, it's nice to have a long-term target, but give yourself interim targets. And that's the thing that worked for me with Slimming World as well. They give you small interim targets. They give you a half-stone award and then a stone award. And it's a case where when you get to a half-stone award, you kind of go, okay, there's the next one is in sight, and you have all these little targets set all along, like pebbles or whatever, and you're going up like Garn Tool, one step at a time, and you're kind of going from one step to the other. So I eventually, when I lost my 10 stone, I invested As I came down to your house yesterday, I came down with a bike on the back of the car. So I invested in a bike. I spent a good couple of hundred euros on a good bike. When I got to my 10 stone award, I lost 10 stone. I said, I'm going to invest in myself. So again, it's looking at the long term. You know, you're going to get out cycling and stuff, and I've kind of started.
So when you started, did you have that long term, like 25 stone, 13 stone?
The long term path was probably to get to... Jeez, if I would have been happy if I got to 17, 16. 16, sorry, was roughly my really... That was my dream, to get to 16. And when 16 came around, I kind of said to myself, Jesus, what can... You know, as I said, like, I'm kind of... Maybe I'm like yourself, in one sense. You get, when you get to the next challenge, you kind of go... Jeez, maybe we'll go a bit further, you know. So as I said, like, you know, so it was, we got to 16, you know, I still was, I don't know what size, maybe it was at an XL at that stage, but it was gone from a 5XL or 4XL down to an XL, and I was happy. At the time, I thought I would have been happy with that, but then when I got to the 16, I kind of go, you know, Jesus, we can, there's a bit more scope for manoeuvring. I think, what was the 10 stone was, so the 10 stone award would have been 14 stone 12. So when you're at 16 and you're kind of going, Jesus, if you came down to 14 stone 12, that'd be 10 stone. That'd be amazing.
And you know, it reminds me of my goal initially was to climb Everest.
Yes.
Right? And I thought that was the pinnacle, like,
yes,
you were 17,
yeah,
stone.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to the top of Everest, and when I got to the top, I said, what's next?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And so, like,
yeah,
what you had is a what's,
yeah,
next.
Yeah, what's next, exactly, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, and... Can you tell me then, like, because I'm just fascinated when you came down here to me, to the mountain lodge, it was, let's do Carn Chool, but then you went out on a 30-kilometer cycle before.
Yeah.
You went to bed the night before, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So that progression is amazing.
Yeah.
And so, like, how did that all, like, how's it clocking into your mindset now, like, the fact that you can do this?
Yeah, it's
what age are you now?
39.
39,
yeah.
Like, you know, and from... You know, a fit athlete in your youth,
yeah,
to obese in,
yeah,
your 30s, to,
yeah,
obese in your, you know, like 20s and 30s.
Yes,
and then now to,
yeah,
super, like, you know, being honest, you're a super athlete now.
Yes,
like, you're thinking,
yeah,
of,
yeah,
doing Ironman.
Yeah, yeah. So... Yeah, it's great. As I said, you kind of have that, like, again, with the weight loss, the energy levels, and I can't stress this enough for anybody that's struggling, like you said, and I would have been that person where your energy was drained. Carrying, I suppose, an extra 12 stone, it probably would be, like, you know, it's but now you have this just new lease of life and this energy reserve that wants to kind of, sometimes my mind is kind of going, oh, geez, I'm going to veg out today, where the body is kind of going, no, we're getting up and we're going, Tom, like, you know. So I'd be very active. I said, like, you know, you'd cycle maybe between, at the moment with the weather being good and stuff, you'd cycle about maybe 60 or 100 kilometres a week, and you'd run maybe 50k a week as well, like. So it is.
Now, I just want to put this into context for people, right? You were 25 stone,
mm-hmm,
not very fit,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
I can imagine at 25 stone there wouldn't have been a lot of walking or running.
No, definitely not.
To the fact now, like, you know, so it is possible and there is a progression.
Absolutely.
So that, like,
absolutely, yeah.
So does that go down to your want? What is this that's driving you now?
I suppose it's just a case where I like to, because I'm finding you're having a new lease of life. You're giving yourself these little challenges, and it could be, like, you know, Carn Tuil today and maybe somewhere else tomorrow. And I love seeing, to pushing myself now and seeing how far we can kind of go with this kind of new life, or new lease of life, so to speak. So it's a case where, you know, you're kind of going, and, like, I'm a firm believer in getting outdoors and you know, getting out and going for a hike. I said I took up hiking maybe in the last 6 months or so, since January, and I've kind of done, I'm attempting to do all the highest peaks in every county now. So I said that we've done 11 or 10 so far, including Carn Tuil yesterday. So that's my new little venture. So we're getting around to each county day by day, and we'll climb each peak as they go. So I said hopefully we'll hit the 32 at some stage. I don't give myself a time limit, but if it happens before Christmas, well and good, but if it happens into New Year...
I love the way you say before Christmas. Lots of people will take 10 years to do that.
I suppose my father had a great saying with myself. He used to say, "Jesus, you're a whore to start, but a fecker to stop." Like, you know, when you get going, he said, when you start,
a whore to start,
but then you're a fecker to stop. Then at the same time, like, you know, so
great compliment.
Yeah. That's it. It's like the old starting handle. Spring, as I said,
you wind it up,
but then you know it start ticking away, and it's. You know, as I said, I can't stress the fact, but it's obviously I'm kind of at the other end of it now. But as I said, it is, as I think I heard a saying yesterday. I think it was yourself even about eating the elephant. How do you eat an elephant bit by bit? You know, and it's a case where, you know, if you're whatever weight it is, whether it be a couple of kilos or a couple of stone or whatever it may be, like, you know, it's pound by pound, and you're just making the changes day by day gradually. Like, you know,
can you give us say 5 points of what you feel that would help people on a journey of which they want to achieve? Just give us the 5 points.
Yeah, well, I suppose we've covered a few of them in the podcast. There, you have your start with your shopping trolley. You know, as I said, if it's a case that you want to make changes, whether it be a healthy lifestyle, start with your shopping trolley. Do you know, try and become a bit more active. I invested in good rain gear and stuff like that, and I've got outdoors. Not afraid to get out and go for a walk regardless of the weather, because I think when we live in Ireland, it's a case where we have to put up with whatever weather we're given anyway. Do it for yourself. Don't do it for anyone else.
Brilliant.
Do it for yourself and stay working and put on the blinkers and just try not deviate from your goal, because as I said, there's a lot of things that'll pull you aside, but put on the blinkers and you'll get there. As I said, don't worry about whatever everyone else thinks. That's none of your business, like, you know. So as I said, it's a case where like, for other people's opinions of you doesn't matter. It's what your own opinion of you is you, and that's the most important.
My father gave me that advice years ago. Yeah. It's none of my business what other people think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the goodness and truer words, because you can't change what other people think about you. You know, so you do it for yourself, like, and just don't be too hard on yourself. But at the same time, in the same breath, don't be afraid to push yourself either. If it's the case that you've done 5,000 steps, 1,000 steps today, do 1,100 tomorrow. And if you feel that's a bit of sweat coming out of you, you know, that's grand, as long as, and you know, just work within your reasons. But at the same time, don't be afraid to every time push yourself extra couple of steps further, and before you know it, you'll be doing your 5 or your 10k steps or your 5k running or whatever.
And I think that's 4. Give us the 5th.
Just as I said, dream it and you'll achieve it. As I said, like, I definitely done it, and as I said, I still am a normal guy, so anybody can achieve it. Like, so if you set your mindset and go for it, there's, as I said, there'd be no stopping you.
My father gave me a great bit of advice, like, years and years ago, like when I was only 17. He said to me, he said, "Dream and dream big, son.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, it's in the following of the dream is where the success lies. Let achieving it be the bonus."
Yes.
So by God, you dream big.
Yeah.
You followed your dream with great conviction and passion, right? Okay. And you've reaped the reward of the success of staying focused.
Absolutely.
So I just want to say, look, thank you very much, Tom. It's fascinating getting to know you as a friend. It's fascinating the fact that you had to challenge Karen Toole and all the other mountains in Ireland as keeping fit. And you're an inspiration to others. So no matter what age you are, you know, no matter what health position you're in, now is the time to start if you haven't already started.
Absolutely.
So it's Pat Falvey over and out from the Mountain Lodge here in Kerry, overlooking Loch Lean. And hopefully catch you on the next podcast, but also keep tuned into Tom. What's your handle again on Instagram?
Weight Off My Mind IRL. So it's Weight Off My Mind IRL.
It's a great follow, like, so, you know, don't forget to follow Tom. Thank you very much. Pat Falvey.